there's such unity whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, and it touched me in both messages that he told us he wanted us to do. He wants to do great things for us if we'll just believe him and expect him to do those great things on our behalf. That's beautiful. That's beautiful that the Lord of glory would take the time to speak to us in such a manner. And we praise you, Lord, for who you are. You are the Lord of glory. If you have your Bibles this morning with you, would you please turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 47. And I would like to begin reading at verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 47, beginning at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? To give you just a short background of what we are about to read, this is concluding a vision that was given to Ezekiel by God, that in the preceding 6 chapters, he's given great detail about how the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and how the millennial government of God is going to function here on earth. And it culminates in this 47th chapter, the conclusion of the vision. And that's what we're going to begin to read today. Chapter 47, beginning at verse 1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold, out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. And he measured again 1,000, and brought me through the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the brink of the river were very many trees, on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living thing which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand up on it, from En-Gedi even to Egliam. And there shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, for they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the river that can't be stopped. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much today for the presence and gifts of the Holy Spirit that have operated in this service. And Lord, now I ask you to anoint me to speak your word today. I pray, Lord, you'll give me authority to speak it. I pray, Lord, you'll give me clarity of thought, and that it would be brought alive to your people and be made a great blessing unto them, Lord, as it's preached correctly. Father, I realize the magnitude of the message you've given me today. And I know, Lord, without the divine assistance and anointing of the Holy Spirit, I have no hope of preaching it in a way that would bring you honor and glory or that would bless your people. But Father, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I know what can be accomplished. And I humbly ask and admit my need for your presence and for your anointing. And Lord, whatever you do throughout the rest of the service today, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Throughout the Word of God, water, or more specifically rivers, are often used as a metaphor to bring spiritual refreshing to the soul of mankind. Because water is a very precious commodity in Israel. It doesn't rain often, and they have had to, and God has given them the wisdom to develop irrigation systems to cause, as the prophet Isaiah said would happen, the desert to blossom like a rose. But you must understand that when the Bible speaks of a river, using it as a metaphor, as was done here in Ezekiel, it means a source of spiritual sustenance and spiritual refreshment. This week, President Obama, although it wasn't covered too awfully much in the news media, sent emissaries from the State Department to Israel with the intent to pressure Israel to give up land to appease the Muslim world. And make no mistake about it, and I may take some heat for this, but it's the truth. We have elected a Muslim president. We have elected a Muslim president. He gave his first interview not to any American broadcasting. He gave it to Al Jazeera, the Muslim broadcasting networks. He has repeatedly said the most beautiful sound he's ever heard is the sound of the Muslim prayer at sunset, which the Muslim prayer that they repeat at sunset is, "There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet." Even this past week on the National Day of Prayer, where every president in history has signed the proclamation and publicly attended a prayer meeting, he retreated to the bowels of the White House, and his aides informed the world that he prays privately in his own way. This man has great Muslim compassion on those of the Islamic faith. And I believe personally he wants to see Israel destroyed as a nation. I believe he was going to use every effort to try to weaken them, to allow the Arab nations to take land from them which God has given to them. He's going to attempt to do that. This was broadcast in the news media this week as he sent high-ranking officials from the State Department, under the auspices, of course, of Hillary Rodham Clinton, to go to Israel and demand that if Israel were about to launch an attack against Iraq for its development of nuclear capabilities, and you're probably going to see that happen in the not-too-distant future, if Israel is going to attack Iran in any way, he sent these emissaries to demand that he be alerted first before they attack, to take away the element of surprise from the attack. And I'm here to tell you up front, if President Obama knows of any attack coming on a Muslim nation by Israel, it won't be a surprise attack. He'll inform them of it. That's why he wants to know. We need to pray for President Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel, that he would, and I believe he's smart enough not to fall for Obama's request. I believe he'll see through them for what they are, because he's a hardened war veteran of Israel. But what in effect is Obama trying to do? He's trying to do what thousands of men have attempted to do throughout history and failed. He's trying to stop this river spoken of in Ezekiel 47. For what this delineates in Ezekiel 47 is Israel being the leading nation on the face of this planet as Jesus Christ sets up his throne in Jerusalem and rules and reigns the entire world from Jerusalem. His return, the return of Jesus Christ, is going to be so powerful that when he sets foot upon the Mount of Olives, the Bible tells us in the book of Zechariah that that mountain is going to split in two. And it's going to change the geology and the topography of the nation of Israel in such a way that it's going to make this river possible, literally, that was spoken of in Ezekiel 47. Because when Jesus returns and sets foot on the Mount of Olives and this great earthquake occurs, actually splitting the Mount of Olives in two, the Dead Sea, which is in the northern part of Israel, is going to be formed a tributary out to the Mediterranean Sea. And the Dead Sea, which has no life in it at all right now, because it's just that, it's a Dead Sea. It has no tributaries into it. It has no way for water to flow. And when water doesn't flow, it grows stagnant, it grows dirty, and nothing can live in it. But when Jesus Christ returns and sets foot on the Mount of Olives and it splits, it will make a tributary for the Dead Sea to flow into the Mediterranean Sea. And then the Bible says, and it's speaking specifically of the Dead Sea here in Ezekiel, that the waters are going to be healed. And there's going to be life where there was no life. That there's going to be a great harvest of fish. This is literally going to happen, but the spiritual application of what the Bible is referring to here is so, so very important. We can't miss it. As this is speaking of literally the return of Christ and the Dead Sea being brought to life again, it is a type of the world being brought back from the brink of destruction and being given life again through the reign and the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this river that's spoken of that flows from the innermost part of the sanctuary, literally from the Holy of Holies, is where this river in Ezekiel emanates from. The idea there spiritually is that Jesus Christ is the only giver of life. And that what he did on the cross makes it possible for us to have the river of God flow into us. And the river of God is the Holy Spirit himself. That through Jesus and what he did on the cross, he made it possible for the river to flow into our lives. He made it possible when our lives were dead and stagnant and lifeless. When he bowed his head on the top of Calvary's hill and said, "It is finished," he made a tributary for the living water of Almighty God to flow into our hearts and souls and spirits and bring us life where there was no life. To bring us joy where there was no joy. To bring us a peace where there was no peace. And only Jesus Christ can perform this great miracle. I love the song they sang this morning. "Lord, undo what I've become." Only Jesus Christ can undo what we once were. And praise God, once we were sinners, once we were lost, once we were dead, once we were lifeless. But now in Jesus Christ, this great river spoken of in Ezekiel can flow into our heart and life and bring joy and bring peace and bring cleansing. Zechariah said it in chapter 13, verse 1. He said, "In those days there shall be a fountain open for the inhabitants of Israel and Judah, and it shall be for sin and uncleanness." What am I trying to tell you this morning? I'm trying to tell you Hitler tried to stop this river. Alexander the Great tried to stop this river. President Obama's trying to stop this river. But they're not going to be able to stop it because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is the source of this river. Hallelujah. Praise God. You've got a source this morning, church. You've got a source this morning. And your source is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, the power of God is transmitted into our hearts and lives. My Lord, that's enough to make one of these pews jump up and shout. It's to think that the power of Almighty God could come into our hearts and lives. Hallelujah. I felt it this morning, didn't you? Didn't you? Isn't it good to be in His presence? I love it when the river flows, because like it says in Ezekiel, whenever the river flows, everything it touches, it brings life. Hallelujah. It brings life. It brings renewed life to everything it touches. Praise God. And that source of the river is Jesus Christ. That's why no man is going to stop this river. I'm here to tell you this morning, let politicians and their pundits try as they may to try to stop God's plan, Israel is not going to lose her land ultimately. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign. And in those days, the powers that be right now aren't even going to be worth mentioning. They will fade into oblivion as Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, returns on the Mount of Olives and sets up his kingdom and sits down on the throne of David and rules and reigns on this planet. Then everything's going to be made all right. Then we'll have economic prosperity. Then and only then will we have peace in this world. Then and only then will this world be what God designed it to be. And nothing is going to stop that. Don't worry this morning, church, about what you hear in the news. Don't worry about what you might hear troubling about these economic times. Our lives are not tied to this world. We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are in the greatest diplomatic corps that's ever been known. We are in the diplomatic corps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to his name. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. So our source for everything is Jesus Christ. And in specific, Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. We must look to that as our source. Twice today, the Holy Spirit, through gifts, told us in essence to look to him. To look to him and expect him to do for us what can't be done. You may be worried in this economic situation, how am I going to make it? Again, may I remind you, my brothers and sisters, we're not tied to the economy of this world. We're tied into God's economy. And God has promised to take care of us, to feed us, to clothe us. Granted, it may not be in the here and now lifestyles of the rich and famous, but he will do that for us now. King David said in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. I'm here to tell you, your source is Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus, the river can flow into your life. The river of God, the Holy Spirit. And every time he touches you, he's going to bring new life. I love how the Word of God puts it. He said, whithersoever the river goeth, there shall be life. Praise God. Praise God. We are not living in a dead religion. We have a Jesus who is alive. We have a Jesus who has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he is our source. He is your source this morning. And he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Look up, church. Your redemption's drawing nigh. The Holy Spirit has told us this morning to believe him. To believe him for great and mighty things. To believe him. Expect him to do what he promised he will do. And has he ever let you down? Has he ever one time failed you? No, nor will he ever, because the river is flowing. The source of the river is Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in what he did for you on the cross, at that second in time, you became a tributary of that river, glory to God. And the river started flowing through you, and it brought life and peace and joy. Never forget who your source is. But not only is Christ the source of the river, Christ is our sustainer. Christ is our sustainer. He sends the river of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring us life. But then he sustains that life by a continual flow of the river. You see, there's no stagnancy in Christ. When your faith is placed exclusively in what he did for you on the cross, there's going to be a continual flow all the time of the Holy Spirit into your life. Now I want you to think of the power of that. Even when you're asleep, the river's flowing. Nothing stops it. Never does it stop. Even when you're asleep, the river of God is flowing into the tributary of your soul and spirit. My Lord, what a thought. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing the message. I believe that's why God gave us sleep. Because sometimes he's got to get us to shut up and lie still long enough so he can do some real work on us. And the Holy Ghost is working on us even when we're asleep to change us and shape us and mold us into the image of God. I'm here to tell you it's altogether glorious what this river of God does. And nothing's going to stop it. I'm here to tell you, child of God, I don't know what situation you may be facing this morning, but Jesus Christ is not only your source, Jesus Christ is your sustainer. He sustains life on this planet. He sustains life throughout the universe, and he is more than capable of sustaining you in whatever situation you may find yourself in this morning, because he is the sustainer of life, and he's going to keep you, and he's the one who's caring for you. King David, I can't get past what he said this morning. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging bread. I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through your life as a believer makes you a force to be reckoned with. In and of ourselves, we are nothing. But because of our source and because of our sustainer, Jesus Christ, we have the river of God flowing through our souls. Hallelujah. And the Bible, which cannot lie, speaks to us and says, whithersoever the river goeth, there shall be life. Hallelujah. I don't know what you think might have died in your life this morning. Maybe you've given up hope, but God wants you to know today that even while you're asleep, glory to God, the Holy Ghost is flowing through your soul to make that thing right, to fix it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how he sustains us. You know, we've been studying on Wednesday night about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God doesn't always sustain us by removing the difficulty. God sustains us in the difficulty many times. You know, if it had been done my way and most of us, every difficult situation in the Bible, it would have never happened the way it did. Because you want to know what our solution is? Make it go away. Make it go away. I mean, really, we as humans, that's really what we want, isn't it? Just make it go away. Sometimes God don't make it go away. But he keeps us right there. In that difficult circumstance that we think we're about to die in. How many times have I been there? And I'm slow. But I finally believe right now I'm starting to catch a little bit of how God really functions in our lives. And it's a glorious thought. And that he's not going to deliver us from every hurt, every pain, and every difficulty. Now I know, it's shouting time, aisle running time right there on that one. I'm being facetious. I know that's not something that makes everybody want to jump and do flip-flops. But I want to, let me state it a little bit better this. Maybe this portion of it will cause your amener to want to amen. I want you to look back to the darkest days of your life. And he held you there in the palm of his hand while you're in it, didn't he? Did you ultimately suffer any bad thing? Ultimately, he brought you through it, didn't he? Ultimately, he brought you through. He didn't take you out of it. He left you right there with, if you're like me, I'll just use myself, kicking and screaming and crying and thinking you're going to die and getting mad at him, which is really blasphemy. Oh, Pastor, yeah, I've been upset before, foolishly, with the Lord because he hasn't done things like I thought he ought to do them. And that's terrible. That's terrible. I'm not proud of that, and I'm not saying it to be funny. That's terrible. That shows a terrible spiritual state because God is good. God is good. That really shows when you get in that state to where you're getting upset with him, that shows the grossest lack of faith there could ever be. Because you're saying, God, your word isn't really real. God, I don't feel I can trust your character that says you're going to pull me through and you're going to sustain me as your word promises it will do, and no matter what my situation, as long as I keep my faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. The Bible said in Ezekiel here, chapter 47, he says, but the miry places and the salty places they won't be healed. Really, that's representative of places in our lives where we get upset with God for not doing things the way we think He ought to do them. I want you to think about that. My good friend Isaiah Pribbenow, when he preached here, he touched on this, on limiting an unlimited God. Man can limit God in the sense that he can prevent God's power, this river, from flowing because of hardness of heart and because of a lack of faith. And a lack of faith always manifests itself in being upset with the Lord. I'm speaking as far as a believer is concerned. That God, you're not doing this the way I think you ought to do it. And you know how God patiently, I'm so glad He doesn't give up on us when we become that way. If I was the Lord, I'd have done kicked me out of this thing 100 times. Really. If I was the Lord with some of the things I've done in my life when He's taken me through a trial, I'd have done kicked myself out of the church and out of the kingdom of God 100 times over. But thank God He's not that way. Thank God Jesus is loving and patient and kind. And as long as there's a shred of faith in Christ and what He did at the cross, this river is going to keep flowing. And let me tell you something. When you stand anything long enough in the middle of a river, I don't care what it is, steel, cement, you name it, you stand it in the middle of a rolling river long enough, and that river will eradicate whatever's in it. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you, thank God that even while we're asleep and this river's flowing, it's eradicating my hardness of heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, now it's amen time. You see where I'm going with this? It's eradicating my hardness of heart. It's eradicating my spiritual stupidity. It's eradicating my unfaithful, childish attitude. And one morning I wake up. Have you ever been here before? One morning where you know you've had the worst attitude in the world, you know you've been faithless, you know you've been wrong for being upset with God for not doing it the way you think you ought to do it, and just one morning you wake up and all of a sudden you're full of faith. All of a sudden the whole situation looks different. What happened? Glory to God, this river was flowing. Hallelujah! It flows 24/7, never stopping. That's how God sustains you. Hallelujah! And you keep your faith in Jesus Christ long enough, this river is going to keep flowing. And it's going to wipe out of our lives everything that stops us from experiencing the full blessing and the full peace and the full joy that God has for us. Somebody praise Him for the river today. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Glory to God. This river will wipe away alcohol. It'll wipe away lust. It'll wipe away anything that's defeating you. I'm telling you, stand in the river. Keep your faith in Christ and Him crucified, because that's what keeps the river flowing. And I'm here to tell you today, if you'll do that, your victory is assured. It's on the way. Glory to God. Because of the river. Because of the river. He'll sustain you in the midst. He's your source, but He's also your sustainer. And how's He ever going to prove to you that He's our sustainer if He don't leave us in a difficult spot or in a bad circumstance every now and then? But the beauty of it is, even with all our faults and frailties and failures, as long as our faith remains in Jesus, the river keeps flowing. And the river is going to wash away ultimately whatever's blocking His blessing. He loves us that much. Now think of that. Think of a God who loves us that much. That even when we're in the wrong, so to speak, He'll still send this river 24/7, 365, washing away wrong attitudes. Washing away wrong thoughts. Washing away anything that's in error. And He won't stop it because He loves us. The only thing that can stop the river from flowing is if you change your faith and you begin to trust in something other than Christ and Him crucified, who is your source and your sustainer. And lastly, in this river, as Christ is our source and sustainer, He is also our supernatural power. Because the knowledge of this river and the knowledge of what it represents should bring peace to every believer. And knowing that one day Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is going to establish His kingdom upon this planet. And you and I are going to rule and reign with Him. Now think of that. That's a thought. And it's all because of the river of God. You see, every believer needs a river. As I heard A.W. Tozer once preach it, he said, every believer needs a river. The believer needs to get in the river. And the believer needs to get the river in him. Because the river changes everything. It changes everything. Even when we've given up on ourselves, the river doesn't stop. Even when we feel defeated. And I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me to touch on that for just a moment. Do you know the worst thing we can trust as humans is our own individual feelings? Because, you know, sometimes we're going to feel defeated. But this Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Which one are we going to believe? Our feelings or what the Word of God says about us? Now, you talk about a positive confession. I wish Brother Copeland would preach it that way. He'd be right. If you put your faith in the Word of God that says, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. There's no defeat in Him. Therefore, there can be ultimately no defeat in me. I'm in Him. I'm in Him by spiritual baptism, according to Romans 6. I'm baptized into Christ. And if there's no defeat in Him, there can be no defeat in me. So therefore, whatever I'm feeling is not right. Pilots in airplanes, if they're not trained to fly by their instruments, they'll run that plane right into a mountain, especially in conditions where it's cloudy and they can't see, where they have to rely exclusively on their instruments. If a pilot gets into a situation where he has to fly by his instruments and he's not what they call instrument rated, in other words, where he can fly that plane only by looking at his gauges. You don't even have to look out the window. He flies that plane totally by looking at his gauges. If any pilot finds himself in a situation where he's clouded in and can't see where he's going and he doesn't know how to look at his instruments, he's going to fly that plane right into the sea, right into a river, right into a mountain. He's going to crash it because he hasn't been trained when things get all cloudy to look at his instruments. And to trust them because they'll tell him exactly where he is. Because if he goes on his feelings in the cockpit, and I've flown quite a bit in my life as I was a flight engineer on C-130s. Sometimes if you're in heavy clouds, your body will tell you you're going up when you're actually going down. Your body will tell you you're going down when you're actually going up. That's based on what you feel. But an experienced pilot who's instrument rated, he can look at his instruments and tell exactly where he is and learn to trust them. If he trusts in his feelings and what he's feeling at the time, he's going to crash that plane. In other words, if he puts his faith in what he feels, tragedy is going to be the result. But if that pilot knows to look at his instruments and trust them, and say, here's where I'm at. Here's how high I'm in. It don't matter what my body is telling me right now. These instruments are right. So it is with the child of God and the Word of God. When we're feeling defeated, we must look to the Word of God that says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. When we're feeling faithless, we must look unto the Word of God as our source, which tells us that He gives a measure of faith to everybody. When we're feeling like we're never going to get through a certain situation, we must look to the Word of God that tells us Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Not only is He our source, not only is He our sustainer, He is our supernatural power to live effectively and gloriously in this life. And if we look to any other source, the river stops flowing. The power of the Holy Spirit, let me explain it like this as I begin to close. It's like a baby in a mother's womb that has an umbilical cord running to it. Through that umbilical cord comes all the baby's nourishment. If that umbilical cord is cut before the baby is born, its entire source of nourishment, so it can grow and be normal when it's born, is totally destroyed. It'll die. You see, to the believer, when the Bible says in the book of Hebrews to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus as our source, our sustainer, and our supernatural power, He, when we look to Him, it's like there's a giant of spiritual umbilical cord running between us and heaven. And that flow, as long as we're looking to Jesus, it's there continually, providing us with the spiritual nutrients and the spiritual nourishment and the spiritual empowerment that we need. And it'll never stop as long as we're looking unto Jesus. But the second we look to any other source, that cord gets cut. God won't allow it. God won't allow our strength, our power, our sustenance to come from any other source than Jesus. That's why it's glorious to think that this great river of God, which is representative of the Holy Spirit, spoken of here in Ezekiel 47, it's both literal and spiritual in application, what's being spoken of, is that river flows all the time in the life of a believer, even when he doesn't realize it. That's beautiful to me. Through all of my faults and failures, as long as I'm standing at the foot of the cross saying, Lord Jesus, help me out, He won't cut the flow off. The umbilical cord is still intact. And He's going to send through that spiritual umbilical cord exactly what's needed to change my heart, to change my life, and to change my attitude, even when I don't realize it. That baby in the womb, it doesn't sit there and think about growing. It doesn't sit there and say, well, I'm going to grow a brain today. Well, I'm going to grow my toes today. I'm going to grow my fingers today. No, that baby abides in the womb. And the natural flow coming through that umbilical cord causes that baby to grow, even when that baby doesn't realize it's going on. There is a spiritual metamorphosis that is exactly like that going on in the life of every believer who has their faith anchored in the cross of Christ. There's a flow coming into your life all the time. And you may not think that you're growing. You may think at times you're defeated. You may think at times, I'm not going to make it. But as long as your faith is in Christ, that doesn't stop the flow. That doesn't stop the flow of this glorious river. It's providing you with your sustenance and with your power to make it through anything. Because Christ has conquered all through His vicarious, victorious offering of Himself on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit wants somebody to know this today. You're a lot farther along than you think you are spiritually. Perhaps several. Because you've been standing in the river. And the river's been flowing. And change has been being made. I'm going to tell you, it's the most dangerous thing in the world to keep attending a church where the cross is being preached. Let me say it better than that. It's the most dangerous thing in the world to sin in a person's life to keep attending a church where the cross is being preached. You don't want to know why? Because every time the cross is preached, the Holy Ghost is going to flow. And every service you sit under, you may think, I'm not changing a bit. I hear about this cross all the time, and I don't really feel nothing happening. I don't really see no change, but there's going to come a day. You stand in the river long enough, and you stay where the river's flowing. There's going to come a day you're going to wake up, and it's going to be like, wow, as the blinders fall off your eyes. And you're going to realize, wait, I'm not doing this anymore. Wait, I'm not thinking that way anymore. Linda, you know what I'm talking about. She shared with me victories. The Lord's brought, many of you have shared with me victories. The Lord's brought you through when you just rested. What the Holy Spirit commanded us to do today. When you just rested in the finished work of the cross. And you didn't do nothing. You know what happened? The river flowed. The river flowed. Hallelujah. And it'll change everything. You stand in it long enough. It's like I used to tell folks when I was preaching on the baptism, mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. You play around the creek bank long enough, you're going to get wet. You play around the creek bank long enough, you're going to get wet. Remember, I remember when I was a little boy, how I don't know what it is about little boys and water. You know, sometimes little girls too, but especially little boys. You give them a body of water, and they like to just, you know, to put on their Sunday best, and they like to get just to the edge of it to try and see how close they can come without getting in it. Why is that? I don't know. But undoubtedly, they keep edging into that water, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, a slip happens. And a brand new pair of Sunday best is up to the knee in mud and water. That's why it's so imperative that the cross be preached, because whenever it's preached, this river of God flows. And you stay around the preaching the cross long enough, you're going to get wet. It's too powerful. It can't be ignored. You're going to get wet. And you're going to be able to look back, if you put your faith in the cross, if you're a believer, and see, he's brought me a mighty long way. I've been growing this whole time. The enemy's been on my back telling me, ain't nothing happening. You're just going to go listen to him one more time, yell and scream about that cross. Why would the enemy take the time to speak to you that way? Because he knows the power of the cross. And let me ask you this. Has the enemy ever condemned you over trusting in something other than the cross? He'll even promote such. You know, before I knew and understood the message of the cross, Satan never jumped on my back about speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is beautiful, powerful. I'm not demeaning that. I believe in it wholeheartedly. But I never felt like, you stupid thing, why are you going there to that tongue-speaking church? Tongues are for us as a recharger for us as believers. They didn't do God any good at all. Nor do tongues bring victory to the child of God. Nor do tongues necessarily in and of themselves bring change to the child of God's thought processes or renew his mind. Satan doesn't, he don't mind those things so much. Let me tell you what bothers him. The cross. The cross. Because the cross is where he's defeated. The cross is where his power is shut down. The cross is where the victory of God is given to the believer. So that when the believer is baptized into Jesus Christ via faith in his atoning work, when Satan now looks at that believer, do you know what he sees? You're in Christ. He can't tell the difference between you and Jesus. My Lord, somebody ought to shout over that. And he knows the theology. He knows the theology better than anybody. And through the use of demon spirits, he tries with the events he can muster to get all of these people that look like Jesus to put their faith in something else. Even though he can't tell the difference, he knows we're all not Jesus. And he says they're looking like that because their faith isn't what he did for them on the cross. And I don't know if that's him walking around there or not, but there's way too many of them that are bearing his resemblance. And if I can, I'll find out, because if I can get them to change the way they're thinking and the way where they're laying their faith, and I get them to change that, boom, I've got them. I'll find out. I'll find out right now who's Christ and who isn't. That's why he still makes the effort. But he can't tell the difference. Glory to God. Unfortunately, we still can. We're in this mortal coil. We can still tell the difference. And that makes us susceptible to all kind of human error. But as long as our faith is laid in the cross, that's the source of power. There's where the sustenance is. There's where the supernatural life of God is imparted to you and I, because the river flows then. I'm telling you this morning, as I prepared this message, I believe the Holy Spirit told me, there's a lot of them that haven't been in the river for a long time. Not that your faith has swayed from Christ, but in the passage we read this morning, every time Ezekiel was taken through the river, what happened? It got deeper and it got wider. What's that telling us? To where finally Ezekiel said it became a river so great, I couldn't cross it anymore. It was so vast and so deep. In other words, what's being told us is that the river of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, is inexhaustible in you and I. There'll always be more than we need available to us for Him to do the work in us that needs to be done. And I can't let this go. I feel the Holy Spirit so prodding me. Don't give up on yourself. Is your faith in Jesus Christ this morning? If your faith is in Christ, this river's flowing all the time. And He's working on you. He's working on you and me. Even when we don't realize it. Don't give up on yourself. You're in the river. And the river's in you if your faith is in Christ. But sometimes we just need to be taken through this glorious river one more time. To remind us is, yes, it is inexhaustible. Yes, it's glorious. Yes, it is, in fact, flowing in my life, even when I'm not cognizant of it. Would you stand to your feet? Jesus stood up in John chapter 7, verse 37, the last great day of the feast. And the Bible says He cried with a loud voice. Cried before the entirety of that great assembly. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want to ask God to take us all through the river one more time today. I need it. I don't know about you. I need it. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I want Him to take everybody who wants a fresh move of the Spirit of God in their life. Let's come to this altar and ask Him, Lord, take me through the river one more time. Take me through the river one more time today. And I'm going to ask you if you would you come and present yourselves at the altar of God? As you're coming, I'm reminded years ago of a song that so exemplifies what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do for us at this altar. It was called, It's Beginning to Rain. The chorus of it went something like, It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of My Father. He's promised to pour His Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Praise God. Let's stand in the presence of God today and ask Him one more time to take us through this glorious river. Bow your heads and believe Him. As the Holy Spirit instructed us, I understand why He's engineered this service the way He has. He said, expect Me. Expect Me to do what I've promised I'll do. And He has promised there'll be a never-ending flow of this mighty river. And one more time, maybe you need to go a little bit deeper in this river, but you need Him to take you through it like He did Ezekiel. And He'll always do it. You don't have to worry about Him telling you no. He'll never tell you no. Praise God, He'll never tell you no. He's got an endless supply. And the Holy Spirit confirms the reality of Jesus Christ. I don't need to get into some theological debate or some scientific debate. Like the old song says, you ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart, glory to God. Praise His name. Now this morning, if you would, just as a sign of submission, not that there's anything magical about it, would you lift your hands unto Him? And I want you to expect Him to mightily move on you today. He wants to. And ask Him. He'll understand what you mean. Lord, take me through the river again. Take me through the river again. Father, in the name of Jesus today, everyone standing around this altar. Lord, there may be some physical manifestation. There may not be. It could happen deep in our souls and spirit. However You want to do it, Lord. But Father, we come humbly asking You today in the name of Jesus. Take us through the river of God one more time. Lord, take us through the river of God one more time. Remind us one more time, Lord, that you're our source. Remind us that you're our sustainer. Remind us that you have supernatural power available to us, your children, and that we're in you. We're in the river because of Jesus, who is our source. He Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, take us through that river. I sense you doing it, Lord. Father, I sense your presence here today in a mighty way. I feel the lightening of the load in my spirit, Lord. I pray you're doing it for everybody, Father. And I know you will, anyone who asks you. Take us through that river. And Lord, not only take us through it today, I ask you to keep us in the river. Keep our faith anchored in Christ, which keeps this glorious river of God flowing. Which everything it touches, it brings life to. It brings renewed vigor to. It brings hope to. It brings joy. It brings peace. Hallelujah. It brings rest. Oh, Lord, we need it. We need it. Let us know, Lord. Let us know. Give us confirmation today. This river never stops flowing as long as our faith is in Christ. And, Lord, to some today who may be given up on themselves, to some who are in despair, to some who maybe have a wrong attitude toward you, our gracious God, Lord, let that river eradicate it. Wash it away. Wash it away. And open our spiritual eyes today to see, Lord, you've been working on us, and we're a lot farther down the road, spiritually speaking, than we may think. But not because of anything we've done of ourselves. We've merely placed our faith in the right place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Shannon, would you come here? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Some of you ladies gather around her. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, take Shannon through the river today one more time. Take her through its power. Take her through its glory. Take her through to remembrance that it'll never stop in her life, Lord. Lord, bless her and keep her today. And let her know, Lord, things have been changing even when she hasn't realized it. It's been happening. Bless her, Lord, and keep her, as I know you will, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Julie, can I pray for you today? Thank you, Lord. Y'all lay your hands on Julie. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, take my precious sister through the river of God one more time. Lord, renew and refresh her today, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do, Lord, but take her through the river one more time today. Let her feel its cleanness. Let her feel its power. Let her feel its cleansing, Lord. Minister unto her today, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Dennis, could I pray for you this morning, buddy? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you men gather around, lay hands on Dennis. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, I'm asking your great blessing upon my brother of taking him through the river one more time. Lord, for times when maybe he hasn't felt like there's been much progress, I pray you'll open his eyes to the fact that the river's been flowing all along and things have been changing and that, Lord, his greatest blessings are just ahead. Lord, minister unto him today. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, take him through the river one more time today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Church, don't wait for me to call you out. I may miss it. You praise Jesus. He's the one. He's the one who takes you through the river. Glory to God. Trevor, can I pray for you this morning, brother? Where is he? Oh, I'm sorry. He's praying. Come here, brother. This dear brother's from one of our sister churches up in northern Ohio. Believes in the cross. Dear friend. Met him many times. Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, I sense that Trevor needs your refreshing today. And, Lord, that the enemy has been coming against him to try to convince him he is defeated. But, Lord, may he focus on the word of God today, which says he's more than a conqueror. And let the power of God, flow over him as you take him through the river one more time today. Minister unto him today, Father. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, one more time before we're dismissed. In reverence to the Holy Spirit, I really feel this, church. I want everybody to be reverent of the Holy Spirit. He's sensitive. And I feel he's the one who's speaking to me to do it this way. Would you just simply lift your hands as a sign of submission unto him? And praise him for taking you through the river again today. And thank him for taking you through the river time and time again. He'll not fail you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift our hands in submission to you today. We lift our hands acknowledging you're our source, Lord Jesus. We lift our hands acknowledging, Lord, you're going to sustain us through anything you call us to go through. And we lift our hands to acknowledge today, Lord, you are our supernatural source of power, Lord Jesus. Your river, the Holy Spirit, is our source of power and strength. And we're going to stand in the river and we're going to get the river in us because of you, Lord Jesus. And we possess this great river already because of you, Lord Jesus. Father, let us never forget the power and the glory that is ours, that belongs to us as heirs of the great salvation that you purchased for us on the cross of Calvary. We give you praise, honor, and glory today, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Nothing can stop the river. As long as your faith is in Christ, nothing can stop the river. And praise God, one day in the not too distant future, I believe, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Because Obama can't stop the river. He can't stop God's plan. Praise God. No man can stop God's plan. Hallelujah. It's been a delight and a joy to be with you in God's house this morning. Dennis, would you come dismiss us in prayer this morning?